We move on to Surah An-Najm, which is the 53rd Surah of the Noble Quran. Now, Surah An-Najm, as the commentators say, that is a Makki Surah. And in fact, some of the commentators say that it's the first chapter or the first Surah that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam proclaimed in Mecca. And that is the opinion of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. The surah commences by talking about the Mi'raj, which was a miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw strange and unique things in the vast kingdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things which astound the intellect, amaze the minds. It's a miracle which reminds people that it's obligatory on them to have iman and affirmation and to abstain from disputation and doubts in matters related to the unseen and revelation. There's also the discussion on the idols which the polytheists worshipped, and they excluded Allah from that. The surah goes on to expound the baselessness of those that allege gods and other than Allah, and that it is not acceptable to worship anything other than Allah, whether it entails the worship of the idols or the noble angels. It then goes on to speak about recompensation, the day of recompense, when every person will be recompensed for whatever they did. The person who does good shall be recompensed for his good. The one who does evil will be recompensed for the evil. People will be divided into two groups, the righteous ones and the sinners. It then focuses on the day of Qiyamah itself, and the surah provides proof for those, for the just recompense, by stating that every person shall receive nothing but what he earned and what he did, and no person will be burdened beyond or carry the burden of anyone else. The surah mentions the effects of Allah's power in giving life, causing death, life after death, making some people wealthy and causing others to be poor, creating a male and female from just a drop of sperm. So those are some of the themes that the surah will deal with. It is stated that this is the first surah in which a verse of sajda, a verse of prostration, was revealed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited it and he made sajda. A strange phenomenon occurred on this occasion when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished reciting the surah before a mixed gathering of Muslims and non-Muslims, along with the Sahaba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself made sajda on the ground. The disbelievers also made sajda, subhanallah, except one of the proud ones. There's a difference of opinion as to who the name was and who exactly this individual was. He simply took a handful of soil and applied it to his foot, to his forehead, and said, "This is enough for me." Abdullah bin Mas'ud said that he saw this man lying dead in the state of kufr, and that person did not have the opportunity to accept Islam. At the outset of the surah, the truth of the Quran and revelation of the divine claim is established in a very exquisite and forceful style. It's stated that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a true messenger of Allah, and there is no room for doubt in this regard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ظَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى. By the stars when it goes down to set. The word najm means a star. And as a common noun, every star is referred to as a najm. And in that case, nujum is the plural. So what is being referred to here is that by the oath of the stars, مَا ظَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَىٰ, neither has your companion deviated, nor has he gone astray. Allah refers to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the companion, that is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he has neither gone astray due to misunderstanding, nor has he gone astray intentionally by your butt and by your choice. Instead, just as the stars travel at a set pace and follows its set course from the time they rise till the time they set, without going off course in the least, in like manner, the son of prophethood also follows the course that is set out by Allah. It is impossible for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to shift either away from this. And if this was to happen, the purpose for his prophethood, for his ba'asat, would not be fulfilled. The prophets are the stars of the sky of prophethood, by whose light and the speed of the world is guided. When the setting of all stars, the brilliant star rises, and in like manner, after the departure of all prophets, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made his august appearance in Arabia, and since Allah has made the system of these physical stars so perfect and absolute, with no room whatsoever for there to be any interruption or hindrance, it's obvious that the system of those spiritual stars, sun and moon, would be far more perfect and absolute. Allah then goes on to say, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He did not speak of his own desire. It was not on his own desire. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only spoke what he was instructed. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. Let alone any task, not a single word from his blessed mouth is based on personal motive. Whatever he said in matters of religion is in accordance with the revelation and order of Allah. And this divine revelation is of two types: that which is recited, the Quran, and that which is not recited, the Hadith. So both the Quran and the Hadith both comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one is the recited one, wahi matlu, and ghair matlu, the Hadith. So there is no possibility, it's impossible for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to forge any lies and to attribute it to Allah. Nothing he uttered was in his own desire. He only conveyed to the people which he was commanded to do in its entirety, without any additions, without any deletions, any analysis of the variations, or, you know, anything that anyone says in which goes against that is not correct. And the fact that you have the Quran, which is the wahi that came directly, and the hadith, which is the words which Allah had inspired to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he had then uttered that. So that is what we have, and that is the basis of our deen. عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَىٰ ذُو مِرَّةٍ فَاسْتَوَىٰ. One endowed with severe force has taught him, ذُو مِرَّةٍ فَاسْتَوَىٰ. One who is powerful, he then sat straight. Allah is the actual one who sends down revelation. However, one through whom revelation reaches you and who outwardly teaches you is really very strong, powerful, handsome, and fine-looking. It's none other than the angel Jibreel, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that has been mentioned, that this is certainly a noble word that a noble messenger has brought, who possesses strength, high status, بِذُقُمِرَّةٍ ذُقُوَةٍ مَتِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Jibreel in Surah At-Takwir, that he is obeyed, مُطَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٍ, that is also trustworthy. So that is the introduction to the basis of our deen, that the deen is based on revelation. And when we come to revelation, then that is where our intellect stops and revelation begins. There is no questioning of revelation in terms of, measuring revelation to our own intellect. When it comes to revelation, we simply submit and we say, this is what Allah has informed us, and this is what we are to accept.